All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
I don't know. Are we? I didn't get the sign from.
I didn't get
from
the
fantastic.
I didn't get the go sign.
I was looking at you. I was waiting for something from you.
I don't do
How am
nothing.
I supposed to know we
hey,
start?
You know what? When the producer gives me the go sign, I go.
I never give you the go sign after the music.
I mean, I was content with listening to Cyndi Lauper personally, but you know,
ready? That's wait, a good ready? Wait, wait.
Okay.
No, no, no. I didn't say go.
Oh, she gave damn. Me the go sign.
Ah, but they don't know that. Aha!
It's conflicting.
Ready, go.
Hey, there.
Folks.
That's right, you are listening to Cyndi Lauper.
You gotta
and,
appreciate that.
That's the theme song from The Goonies.
It is the theme song from The Goonies.
And
that video very fondly.
I know.
Because all the wrestlers were in it. There were like two versions of the video. It was like a continuation, but it was the same song.
Lou Albano played her father, right?
No, that was Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Oh, what is she talking
about? No, in this one, it was like a bunch of wrestlers, and they're chasing the Goonies, and they're like, they're in a cave. And there are two versions of the video, because it was like a story that they were trying to tell visually.
Oh, the Iron Sheik is in it.
Yeah, and like I think Rowdy Piper is in it, and Captain Lou is in it, and
yeah, you know, all
a bunch of them.
What was the other Russian guy's name?
Nikolai Volkov.
Yeah, him.
He was in it as well.
He does
I think
circuit.
Sergeant Slaughter might have been in there,
the
too.
The Sarge?
I think so.
I don't think it was the Sarge.
I think so.
Sounds like all heel wrestlers.
Well.
Not and? The Sarge. Sarge wasn't a heel in 80 whatever that
whatever
was.
Whatever that movie was. 82.
85. Yeah, Goonies will come into play later on in the episode. However, this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
That's right.
Episode number 84. Did you see what he named the episode last week?
Yeah, I don't even think it had anything to do with the episode, did it?
Did we talk about that game?
I don't think we did.
It was Mario Galaxy. What was it? Mario can breathe in
a vacuum.
In Mario Galaxy or something?
You guys left it up to me, and well, I have to say, I exceeded all expectations.
You know, it was funny because when I went to the website to see that the episode had gone up and I saw the post, I actually really had to think hard, like, did we talk about galaxies?
I know there was some segment about something to do with the Wii.
There was a Wii segment because
I had
we talked about
poked
the Zapper.
And, I had to get poked and woken up after it, but I didn't recall anything being said about Mario Galaxy.
Well, left
no,
to
I,
his
I think
own
we
device.
Said, we said something about it, but it was maybe one word or maybe three words like to the effect of
right.
Super Mario Galaxy.
So you extrapolated the whole episode title from one word.
A guy can dream, can he?
See, left to his own devices, he's dangerous.
Well, it's one of those things that dawned on me after while I was putting up the episode after I heard myself say Super Mario Galaxy. I was thinking to myself, how the hell does Mario breathe in space? That's just unrealistic.
Doesn't, he doesn't have a little Mario spacesuit?
That's unrealistic.
A fishbowl.
Oh, is that perhaps. What it is? A fishbowl on his head? Well, anyway, I guess we can go along the episode today and see what comes up name-wise toward the end.
Okay.
But the Goonies will play a major role later on today.
Sure.
What's in the news?
New Line Cinema, Peter Jackson. Maybe they're making up. Maybe they're doing hugs and kisses and handshakes. Maybe they're going to do a Hobbit movie in 3D. Only time will tell.
3D.
That's the rumor on the street, sir. That's what Jackson is talking about, and I don't know.
You mean like IMAX?
I guess. I don't know.
Oh. Okay.
So, no, seriously, it's the rumor, but out of Peter Jackson's camp, it hasn't been confirmed.
The rumor du jour.
So, yeah, it's rumor of the week. It's the latest... The latest in a long line of Peter Jackson Hobbit rumors. So I'm sure it's not the end of them either.
Let me tell you what's not a rumor.
What's not a rumor?
Marvel just going completely berserk.
Okay.
Bunch of things spinning out of the World War Hulk fascination.
Again, my interest is spinning out of control.
Yes.
Into a sleepy void.
Let's say that, for starters, the Incredible Hulk... As of issue 112, will be known as the Incredible Herc.
Ooh.
As Hercules takes over the book.
Okay.
And it becomes an ongoing Hercules book.
Now, will Hercules paint himself green, perhaps?
I don't know.
I'm thinking like latex body paint, maybe.
Like Lou Ferrigno?
Kind of.
I have no idea. The second bit of news regarding the Hulk, as we know, one, Jeff Loeb and artist Ed McGuinness will team up to continue the adventures of the Hulk, except Hulk will be red.
Okay, we haven't seen a red Hulk before.
No.
We have seen other colors of the rainbow.
Yes.
Okay.
Why are they turning him red, you ask? Well, only time will tell, Matt.
I'm guessing super duper gamma irradiation.
They've always associated gamma radiation with green, like every villain.
Yeah, but what if they associated super duper gamma irradiation? That is the question, sir.
I'm waiting to see why red. I'm a little frightened.
I'm always frightened.
But wait.
There is more.
Coming in March... of 08, a new book called Scar, Son of the Hulk.
Not Uncle to the Lion King?
No.
Oh.
It's S-K-A-A-R.
Oh, of course.
Fantasy son of Hulk is right. The name of the book. This is Hulk's son that he had with one of the warrior women in that whole Planet Hulk storyline. Right. And even though it looked very much like everything in that world was destroyed when the Hulk left, apparently...
His seed survived.
Right. The offspring of the Hulk and Shadow Warrior Kyera the Old Strong is Scar.
Will he be mauve?
No, he looks green. He looks a lot like... He looks like slightly smaller version of the Planet Hulk Hulk.
Okay.
You know, and so that is coming in March of 08.
Was Scar conceived while Hulk was in Hulk mode or while he was in human mode? Or does he not go into human mode in this universe?
Well, I think those sort of details are being left up to time.
And the imagination.
In other words, we'll have to wait some of it in order to find out what on earth they're going to possibly do. I mean, look... It's falling right in place with Marvel to just take, okay, what's another great character that's been around forever? Okay, a Captain America? All right, fuck him. Let's kill him. No one will be expecting him to die, so we'll kill him. All right, what about Spider-Man? Tell the whole world that he's Peter Parker. But tell the whole world he's Peter Parker. Why not? That's all. Hulk? Turn him red. Turn him red! They won't know what to do with a Hulk that is red.
It's a crapshoot.
Well, you're half right.
Exactly.
It's a crapshoot without that annoying shoot.
Right. Speaking of crap, sir, in a recent interview, one, I couldn't act my way out of a wet paper bag, Nick Cage has expressed interest
in a Ghost Rider sequel.
In a Ghost Rider sequel.
Gay.
That's right. And I could say I hope that doesn't happen. I'd actually like to say that I'd be more interested in perhaps a Constantine sequel. which is also being floated and
really
and batted about.
Oh, that I'd love to see.
I liked Constantine.
I did too, even though it was Keanu Reeves.
Even though it was kind of campy, I did enjoy it.
I was thankful it wasn't Nick Cage.
Well, Nick Cage had said in previous years that he wasn't interested in doing movies with sequels. And I guess Disney waved a paycheck in front of his eyes that was big enough to get him to come back for a sequel to National Treasure.
Which I'm really looking forward to.
Sure. And now the flaming pile of check that may or may not be Ghost Rider 2 is being batted about, and he's considering it, and he'd be interested in doing it. So there it is.
Couple of books, comics to check out that have come out, and they're both from Marvel.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
Are you feeling all right?
I'm feeling okay.
Do you have a fever?
Fantastic. You may be interested. Ultimates 3, number 1. By Jeff Loeb, Joe Madureira, Jeff Loeb.
Always happy to see
and
Joe
Madureira.
Madureira.
I think it's Madureira.
Yeah.
The point is that number one has come out, has two different covers, a gatefold cover looking like
looking
this.
Fancy and pretty.
With the heroes, and there's right. also a villain's cover as well. So that has come. And starting another series, which I'm sure won't take nearly as long as the last one to come out because there were massive delays in the last one.
Right.
And also from J. Michael Straczynski and Chris Weston comes The 12, number 0. What this is this will set you up for the series The 12 that's being done by Straczynski and Weston.
Should I know this Weston bloke from another book? The name sounds familiar.
I don't know, but I'll be honest with you. I'm not...
Not keen?
Not so keen
not
just yet.
Not moved by it?
No, and moreover, there's kind of... I mean, they're showing us a lot of characters in the back and... you know, it's kind of the whole thing that we talked about last week, these old characters who are, you know, who are lost in some sort of vault or something
right.
and are now being set loose and blah, blah, blah. And who knows exactly how that's going to go. And anyway, that's a primer for that series. I'm interested in reading it only because I'm fascinated that the best new ideas are actually revamping old ideas.
Okay.
So, I mean, with the exception really of Simon Dark from DC, which I don't know if you've heard or checked out, I don't know if we've talked about it. It's kind of a really dark vigilante in Gotham City.
Right.
I know that's a little odd, but, which is, I think that's a really good book. There's nothing new that's really, I mean, it's taking old things and screwing them up or taking old things and putting them in a man out of time stories. And
right.
It's bothersome.
Okay. Well, how about a little update on something we talked about two episodes back? I think during the last XM show, we were talking about Tim Burton doing that motion capture Alice in Wonderland for Disney. And I think one of our callers that night or someone in studio had made reference to the American McGee Alice movie and what was going on with that. And just this past week, according to the Hollywood North Report, Universal Pictures, along with Collision Entertainment, are prepping for the film to be made. The horror fantasy film will be shot in Langley, British Columbia, starring Sarah Michelle Gellar as Alice. And it's director Marcus Nispel and script by Eric and John Hober.
Marcus.
So, we can actually expect that movie to be moving forward now. I love that game. I'm interested to see it come to the screen and see what they do with it. I think the choice of Sarah Michelle Gellar as Alice is probably pretty good casting. I could see her in that role pretty easily. And it could be a lot of fun. So, there it is.
New
update on that.
New book by Neil Gaiman.
Ooh, very exciting.
Neil Gaiman and Dave McKean, Signal to Noise.
Okay.
Hardcover has come out from Dark Horse Comics. It's basically a serialized story that they did in a magazine, fashion magazine called The Face.
Alrighty.
And now they've collected it into one big oversized hardcover. For those of you that don't know, frequent collaborators, Dave McKean and Neil Gaiman, represents, again, another one of those out there stories that seemingly, as far as illustration-wise goes, Dave McKean only seems to really be able to tap. Now, I'm not saying I haven't liked other illustrated Neil Gaiman stuff, because I have.
Right.
In fact, I thought the Neverwhere comic that came out from Vertigo was fantastic. You know, fantastic. And of course, Sandman, you know, obviously, I mean, can we really sit here and argue with Sandman out there? But I think with regards to the lunacy that's in much of Neil's writing and the lunacy that's in much of Dave McKean's artwork, they seem to gel best in that regard.
Okay.
So you can check that out. $24.95 from Dark Horse. Worth every penny.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the Justice League movie.
Oh, yeah, let's.
Well, come on. Everybody in some way, shape, or form, if you hate the movie or don't care about the movie, everybody is interested in who's going to be cast in it. It's all you see online. It's people talking about it everywhere. People want to know who's going to play what. So some casting has come out this past week or so. We have a gentleman by the name of Armie Hammer. I don't know what he's done.
Arm and Hammer?
Exactly. Wow. Okay, so one of our faithful listeners of the show, gentleman Agent Smith, said Armie Hammer is going to be playing Batman in the movie. Which one of you is going to make the Arm and Hammer joke first? And not even 30 seconds.
There you go.
There it is. So there you go, Smith. Arm and Hammer. Big Kev. Mark the timestamp. So Armie Hammer. I tried to do a search online to find out what this guy has done. And he's a couple of things have popped up, but the one that seems to be sticking in my mind the most was he played a male prefect in the movie Flicka. So there you go. That's your Batman. A real
nothing else. Woo,
nothing that I can remember off the top of my head at the very least. In addition, Adam Brody, who I'm not sure who that has been cast or rumored has been cast for The Flash. Teresa Palmer, again, no clue who she is, as Talia al Ghul. Someone has been tied to Green Lantern, but I don't know who.
Talia al Ghul?
Yeah, somehow she's going to play into the JLA movie.
Okay.
And then Megan Gale, who is an Australian supermodel, has been cast as Wonder Woman. She's hot.
Are they aware of what a giant mistake for their careers that this is?
I saw her boobs online somewhere.
Like naked?
Yeah. Fantastic. I think Amy Cool actually had that picture.
Fantastic. You better type slower or my keyboard will melt.
You know, it's either going to be awful or amazing.
Or terrible.
Well,
no, there are no in-betweens.
I don't know. I mean,
you are. Listen to me. I'm going to help you.
I want to hate it. I do hate it.
I'm going to help you. I'm your friend.
Okay.
I'm going to help you.
You keep saying that, but that always makes me afraid.
You are a much more elevated moviegoer.
I am.
Than this movie.
I know.
Okay? You have seen Batman Begins.
Of course I have, and it was amazing.
You have seen it. You have seen the character done correct. There's no way that they're going to get these characters correct in this film.
But from a train wreck standpoint, aren't you the slightest bit interested in what's going to happen?
Adam Brody is Seth from the OC, the lead character who happens to be a geek.
Oh, okay. So there you go.
He's 27 years old.
Thank you. So fantastic. There's The Flash. I thank God his OC knowledge has come into play.
No, the OC knowledge called me, recalled the name, but I had to look up who it was.
Right. The OC knowledge.
The fact that you have OC knowledge is what frightens me.
Recalled his abs, probably, I'm suspecting.
I've never seen this man's abs.
Yeah, but you're vigorously looking now, aren't you?
Was he a creatine user also?
No, he's a thin little rail of a guy.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's good for
the as for Fantastic refers to him, sexy.
Perfect.
Perfect. Wow.
Wow. The two of you are gay.
Alrighty then. Hey, I said boobs.
Terry Moore, long of the series Strangers in Paradise.
Right.
Now, let me rephrase that. Terry Moore, the creator of the series Strangers in Paradise, has a new book coming out called Echo.
Okay. And what is Echo about?
Echo is about a woman, Julie Martin. She's a photographer who's taking pictures in the desert when she finds herself in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Now, is he writing and illustrating as well? Or is it just illustration or just writing? Or
I believe he's doing both.
Because, you know, I got all excited. You know, I'm not entirely up to date on my comic book news, but I got all excited. I was in a comic book store the other day, and I saw a new book. I thought it was a new Sam Keith book. I think it's My Inner Bimbo is the name of the book.
Oh, yes.
And I got all geared up because I really like the Sam Keith. And then I realized that I think he only wrote it, and maybe he illustrated the first issue, but none of the rest of it, and I immediately was turned off from that. So I want to know, is this all Terry Moore? Because I haven't liked the Terry Moore.
You can probably go to terrymooreart.com.
And find out?
And find out more information.
All right, so I will be looking that up then.
I figured that you would.
Have you seen these epic commercials for American Gladiators, boys?
No, and for God's sake, are we really going to spend more time talking about this? Look at him. He's falling over himself to get to the mic. Falling over himself.
I saw the commercial today for the first time, and I wasn't expecting it. It was like I was on CNN.com checking the news.
Right.
And I happened to just click on a story, and then they show you they force you to watch one of the ads.
Right, right.
And it was an American Gladiator ad. You said you haven't seen any
ads.
I haven't,
thankfully.
The one that I saw looked like it was in the vein. It's kind of like a parody of the movie 300 is the way I look at it.
Yeah, that's why I keep calling it epic.
Okay. So you see a bunch of guys and girls with weapons and capes and things like that kind of silhouetted coming over a hill, and it's very dark. And then eventually they get a little bit closer and you see some more detail and you realize that it's not any of the people from 300 or any other army or anything. It's people dressed up as American Gladiators, and they're running with the joust event jousts, you know, that big pugil
thing. Stick.
And then, you know, they play the music and they highlight some of them, and it ends up with one of the guys kind of looking straight into the camera and doing a little neck crack move and a flex, and it says something to the effect of, "Are you ready for American Gladiators or the return of American Gladiators?" But it's suitably campy. It looks really like they realize that, you know, it was cheesy.
Right.
And they're going to play on that. So I'm happy about it.
I was going to say, I'm not going to lie, I'm a little interested and kind of excited. I watched American Gladiators pretty regularly as a child. It was on Saturday mornings or Sunday mornings, and I watched it. And I loved that one event where they were in the giant sphere and just had to roll into those
like
the craters.
Gerbil ball.
Yeah, I love that thing. And the cannon one with all the
The shooting one with the balls.
Yeah, to hide behind all the little obstacles. So I did watch the show. I am familiar with it. And I am interested to see what they're going to do with it. It does look like they're embracing the silly, campy factor. It does look like they're taking it just serious enough where it could be entertaining. It could be worth a good laugh. I'll check it out at least the first time or two.
Hosted by the incredible Hulk Hogan.
Really?
Yes.
That's what I heard.
I didn't know that, no.
And newly divorced.
And newly divorced incredible Hulk Hogan.
I think that show's dead, too. Isn't his other show dead now?
I believe so,
yeah. Hogan Knows Best?
I think it's
apparently he didn't.
All the DVDs are out.
His kid was almost dead, too.
Really?
Yeah, he was in a near-miss accident.
A bad car accident,
that's
right?
Called a hit.
Thank God he wasn't killed.
Yeah, he was dry.
Because it should have been the daughter.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's terrible.
What? She didn't get hit by a bus or something when she was young?
Did she? I don't know.
Look at her. So, you don't think she got hit by a bus?
Oh, God. Have you guys seen the Ninja Challenge? That's on Spike TV or MXC.
Yeah, I watched
I'm thinking if they kind of take the American approach to that with American Gladiators, it could be really good because Ninja Challenge is like completely watchable. You can watch
in
America.
Yeah, I watched it. I don't remember where I was. Oh, I think I watched it when I was trapped in Albany. There was about 8 minutes when I wasn't playing World of Warcraft, and I think that's what I was watching. And that said, that was going to be my comment about American Gladiators is the Japanese have perfected this.
Right, they take it very seriously.
American Gladiators is really going to have to bring me some blood and guts in order for me to
It's
going
to have to be MXC in America.
Well, it's funny you say about blood and guts. Now, I'm assuming there's going to be no blood and guts, but it looks like, at least from the commercial that I saw, that they're already embracing the fact that gladiators fight and it's violent, and they're okay with that. because that's what the commercial looks like.
Right.
Because
oh, sure.
The old American Gladiators was kind of like
pussy.
So tame. Pussy is a good way to describe it. But from their outfits and the way, you know, the way that they acted, and like there was
the fake outfits. Fantastic.
No, I wanted one of the outfits.
Okay.
But I didn't.
Yeah, but you wanted Nitro to still be in the outfit.
Did you want Ice's outfit?
No, I like Thunder.
Ice.
Nitro.
Gemini.
Gemini. Gemini was the big black guy, wasn't it?
And I heard none of those guys were on steroids. I couldn't even get the line out.
Say, I wonder if they're going to roll those old guys out for some kind of like commentary.
And there's
or...
all, and he comes out with a walker because he's steroided himself to death.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
He's bald. All of his quadriceps are snapped.
Gemini firing the cannon from a wheelchair. Oh, I'd love it.
That would be funny.
See, you're excited. We're all excited.
A little more information on a product that I am very excited about. The Starman hardcover, known as the Starman Omnibus.
Didn't we cover this already?
Well, there's more information.
Oh.
There's no information.
No, it will collect the entire run of the series, along with the Starman Annuals, Secret Files, 80-Page Giant, the Shade miniseries, and more.
Wow.
It's true. It's like everything about the character. They're putting it all in one great omnibus. Volume 1 hardcover, 448 pages.
Well, I know one Geek Stuff listener that will be very happy.
Yes. The one who hosts the show.
I was talking about Starman's
0 through 16 kicks off the series, and it's coming out in May. So I'm putting my pennies together because that is a... I don't know if you've ever read that stuff.
I haven't read most of it now.
Fantastic.
I think I maybe breezed through it, but never seriously.
Fantastic book. I recommend it highly to everybody. Check it out. Starman's coming out in May. You can get trades if you want to kind of ease your way into it, not go all omnibus 448 pages. It's got to be a $150 book, I'm guessing.
I'm sure.
At least more than that, probably. And but in any event, it's going to be great, and you should check it out.
Okay, sir. Do you have anything else?
Yeah, I got more. I got tons more. How about the G.I. Joe license is up for renewal?
Ooh, delolly.
Oh, yeah.
And Hasbro's not going to take it?
Oh, no, sir. Hasbro owns it.
Okay.
Hasbro owns G.I. Joe, always has.
Okay.
Ever since they bought it from that
dude. So
what
license is up for renewal?
The comic book license.
Ooh, is Marvel grappling for it?
Marvel is in the game.
Of course they are.
They are going after the title vigorously and trying to get it away from Devil's Due. Devil's Due is the current publisher of the G.I. Joe comics. Marvel is the original G.I. Joe comics publisher. And the guys over at Hasbro say that... they're both in the running.
Well, you know, Hasbro now having a very cozy relationship with Marvel, I'm sure that would work out very nicely.
Well, apparently we will find out very soon who's going to get the license. I got to tell you, I think it would be a sin for it to go back to Marvel. And I think it probably will end up going back to Marvel, which is the damnable,
they'll be able to outbid
misery of it all. Because Marvel gave up this title and this franchise as dead years ago. Yep. And the guys over at Devil's Due, who's that? Josh Blaylock. Is that Devil's Due? Look that up. Fantastic. Josh Blaylock, he picked up this license when nobody else wanted it. They weren't doing anything with it. The toys were dead. Everything was dead. And he picked up this book, this license, and did some great, great, great stuff with the comics, I think. And breathed new life into the franchise, which then led to more toys, which then led to a lot more toys, which then led to things like Sigma 6 that Fantastic was obsessed with. Even Fantastic came back on board. Now it's all popular. Now they're going to make a live action movie. And now Marvel is like, we want it back now. So fuck Devil's Due.
Now you can't fault Marvel for wanting it back. It's business.
No, you can't.
It's sound business.
It's just another reason to hate Marvel and Hasbro.
Yeah, I mean, it's only another reason to hate Hasbro. If they don't do anything good with it.
I'll tell you something, though. As someone who, you're right, wanted to read the G.I. Joe comics when there weren't any, and then had Devil's Due, when they picked up the license, I started reading. if Marvel picks up the license now, knowing what I know about the comic and knowing about the comic book industry and about the G.I. Joe title in general, I'm going to be a lot more critical of Marvel than I was of Devil's Due. And in the first or second issue, if it's not what I want it to be, I'm out and I'm... And out, I hate out. Marvel. That's yeah. like, you know, that's it for
oh,
Marvel.
Oh, man, I really hope it stinks if Marvel gets it, because then I have an ally.
Nice.
Look, no, that aside, I don't hate Hasbro, because Hasbro's got to do what's best for Hasbro, I guess. And I guess I can't hate Marvel, you know, well, I can. But really, the loser here, the person who's going to lose the most, I think, is the fan, because mm-hmm. Marvel is going to sterilize that book, uh-huh. a book that has been... really something special for a while under Blaylock and Devil's Due. DVDs.
Ooh, I actually have something for DVDs, but I'll let
Super
you go first.
Bad.
Nice.
This movie is just freaking hysterical.
I love that movie. 100 times better than Knocked Up.
Yeah, 100 times at least better than Knocked Up.
Not that I didn't like Knocked Up. This is just better. How do you not like McLovin?
McLovin? They found that kid in like high school or... like his aunt or something. Some weird story.
I thought you were just going to say they found that kid dead.
No, that would have been cool too. But...
Michael Cera and what's the other dude's name? Jonah something or other.
I mean, oh, in the movie, you mean?
Yeah.
It's Michael Jonah Cera. Hill.
Yeah, Jonah Hill. There you go. I mean, that movie is just all around funny. There's nothing that's not funny about that movie.
Yes, it's true.
I need to get that on the DVD.
Yes. Fantastic. You want to borrow this?
I've seen that already, Kev.
Oh, all right.
Did you like it?
I was going to say, because Matt's going to get it soon, so...
I can borrow it from him?
Probably.
Jackass.
Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End.
Yeah!
The end of the first trilogy.
Right.
That's what they keep saying.
I know. Even Pirate Marty said it.
I know. Both of them said it to us. Final chapter of the epic trilogy. Ooh.
Dude, if there's another trilogy, they have to tighten that thing up and cut the fat.
Yeah, word. I'm a fantastic. There was so much in the between this movie and the second one.
Okay.
It's all over the road, man.
I think that the third one is much better than the second one. But there are parts of the third one that still bothered me. I was watching it again the other day. And
Wait. How were you watching it the other day?
Don't you worry about that. I was watching it again the other day.
How are you watching? It came out today.
I understand that. And I was watching it on Saturday.
Wait.
3 or 4 days ago.
But it came out the Tuesday after that Saturday.
Because I had access to an early copy to view on the DVD. And
how'd you get an early copy to view?
I work in a video store, sir.
Did you buy this copy?
No, it was a defective copy that I watched in the store.
Oh, it was defective.
But he still had it before to find out that it was defective.
I watched it in the store.
I see.
The scene with Captain Teague still bothers me. I just want to go on the record of saying that. You can form your own opinions. It bothered me.
Buy it at Best Buy. You get the exclusive bonus features disc.
Wow-wee.
Actually comes separate. Usually they pack them in. This one came separate. Sure. The bonus features include Pirates of the Salt Flats.
Okay.
Which I don't know exactly what that is. Return of the Dutchman, Acting Below the Surface, Destroying the Endeavor, From Wax to Will, Orlando, and Madame Tussauds.
Well, the Salt Flats was where they shot that whole first sequence with Jack on the ship, with the whole crew of Jack.
Oh.
When he first was in Davy Jones' locker.
Okay.
So that's probably has something to do with the effects for that scene.
Alrighty. And the World's End world premieres.
Ooh,
so some little coverage there. Obviously, you want to pick this up to complete your Pirates
sure.
collection. How could you not?
And watch it in slow motion so you understand the entire story arc.
Oh, I understood it just fine.
This was, yeah, really. I'd really rather sit and watch all three extended versions of Lord of the Rings.
It's not like I'm an idiot and I couldn't comprehend it. It's just that it wasn't presented in a way that was enjoyable to watch and understand. I'm sorry.
I disagree, but that's okay. But I have some DVD updates real quick.
Okay.
Another one of our faithful listeners sent this into me. Cowman Jim sent into me that. We had talking about the Futurama disc that came out. I guess it was a week or two back.
The Bender one?
Yeah. Apparently, they have 4 movies that they're releasing direct to DVD.
Okay.
And then those movies are going to be broken out into 4 individual episodes that will be aired on Comedy Central once Comedy Central gets the license.
So each movie will be broken into 4 episodes. So that's 12 episodes, 16 right. episodes?
Which I guess essentially is almost a season. Okay. And I also heard from somebody else, from another source, that when they air the episodes on Comedy Central, that each episode will have somewhere close to almost 10 minutes of additional story and footage that are cut in specifically for the episodes.
So then we will have to, what, repurchase?
I'm guessing they'll probably put out something that has that additional footage. Now, that could be rumor, and it's speculative. That I heard it from someone.
No, but I got it. Who said that?
But, just a fan of the show that I happened to run into in my journey that was talking to me about it.
Listen, so, fan of the show, whatever your name is, that makes no viable sense for them to release the four movies, cut them up, and expect people to watch them.
Of course it does, because there's incentive there.
What, for, that is 10 minutes of extra footage?
Yeah, if you bought it on DVD,
you're
now
a
there's
sucker.
Incentive
That's what
for
it...
you to go and watch it on Comedy Central and make their sponsors who paid all that money for advertising space worthwhile.
That's awful.
I'm just saying.
I'm closing out the news with this fine item that came out this week.
All right.
The Mouse Guard PVC set.
Okay.
It's absolutely precious.
Okay.
It's Kenzie, Saxon, and Liam
right.
from the Mouse Guard series. We've talked about the Mouse Guard series since issue one. We even had David Peterson himself on the show.
We did.
And it's really the culmination of this fantastic book is these life-size PVCs.
That's right, life-size.
Of these three main characters, their weapons, their little capes and so on and so forth, PVCs, the sculpting, the color work, everything is excellent, excellent. And I hope that this is the first of a few PVC sets
because sure.
there's a bunch of characters
for sure.
I think should be done and not just these three. Not that these three don't deserve it. They certainly do.
And how often can you say that you actually have 1:1 scale replicas from a comic book?
That well, there you go. There's a selling point that probably they hadn't even considered.
Right.
You get three of them in a box. Retails for about $25.
That's not shabby.
No, it's good. It's from Diamond Select Toys. Archaea Studio Press is the company that puts out the book. If you haven't checked out Mouse Guard, you can get the complete first series in hardcover now.
Right.
Collected, and they're what, 2-3 issues into the winter 1152 series, which is their second series. Absolutely fantastic book. We cannot say enough about Mouse Guard. If you're not checking it out, you are really missing out on something special. And the PVC set rounds out your experience, I think.
Okay.
I can't wait. They're going right up on my bookshelf. I can't decide, to be honest with you, whether to take them out of the package or not.
They do look kind of nice in the package.
But I think I'm going to, because I think they'll look just as nice on my bookshelf.
Display one in a glue trap. One in a little snap trap.
That's terrible. They are life size, though.
No, I love them.
Yeah, they're
and
really
great. I want
great.
Them for myself.
Do you really?
I do.
Oh, you should have told me how to pick you them up.
I get them. I'm not concerned.
There was another one I could.
I'm sure.
Just saying.
I know. Let's take a break.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back with another exciting segment here on the show.
Alrighty then.
Attention Geek Stuff listeners. Do you have a business, website, or other product or service that you would like to advertise on BigKevsGeekStuff.com or the show Big Kev's Geek Stuff? Reach thousands and thousands of people each and every week for a low, low price.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers advertising prices for everybody's budget. For more information on these packages, check out BigKevsGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising button.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the best geek exposure for your advertising dollar. Advertising space.
Hey, hey, this is Haywood Nelson, Dwayne from What's Happening.
And this is Danielle Spencer, D from What's Happening.
Hey, and this is Ernest Thomas, better known as Raj from What's Happening, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
So we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 84. Again, not named, leaving it to Fantastic.
Is that what we decided?
I thought we were just coming up with
We
had a theme. And we had the Goonies theme early on. I don't think they
I know,
but
that really doesn't come into play until segment four.
I know. Segment three. Jesus, sir. What are you trying to kill us? Try to kill our listeners?
Epic saga of episode 84.
And there it is.
There it is. Got that, Fantastic?
No. All right.
The epic saga of episode 84.
I already have another name in mind.
No. You had your chance, Mario Breath.
All right. So what I have here before me comes from the Osceola Report from TV Guide.
Okay.
From the TVGuide.com Strike Watch blog. This is about the writer's strike. And I thought this was kind of interesting, and you guys might be interested in knowing this. This is a list of television shows currently on right now. How many episodes are left before the strike affects them? And I'm not going to go through the whole list because it's like
I'm going to go through some of the ones that I think
we care about. Like perhaps,
Fantastic wants to know if Project Runway will be affected.
You know what? We'll get there.
Okay.
But how about we start with 30 Rock?
Okay. I'm a big fan of 30 Rock.
They produced in, 10 episodes.
Okay.
7 have aired so far.
Uh-oh.
3 are left. Now, this is as of last week. So right. If the show has aired since then, deduct one off of that.
No, it airs Thursday.
Okay. So 3 are
three
left.
3 left. 2 after this week.
Bionic Woman. 8 episodes were produced. 8 episodes have been shown.
Oh, boy.
0 are left. And rumor is not coming back.
Really?
Yeah, that's the rumor.
Aw.
Bones, for those of you who are a fan of that show.
Yes, that'd be David Boreanaz, yep. Formerly of Angel.
12 episodes produced. 9 episodes have been aired, leaving 3.
Okay.
Boston Legal.
Okay, Shatner.
15 episodes produced. 7 have aired so far, so there are still 8 left. That's good.
That's good.
Because you go into the holiday sweep, you'll have some after the holidays.
Right, that's nice.
Good on that one. Cavemen. 13 episodes were produced.
13?
6 episodes have aired.
And the show's been canceled.
7 left.
Oh, my God.
Chuck.
Okay.
13 episodes were produced.
Mm-hmm.
10 episodes have aired.
Okay.
Leaving 3 left. And we've heard that that's been picked up for a full season and renewed. So
right.
Kudos to Chuck.
Safe.
Right. We don't care too much about Criminal Minds, CSI, Desperate Housewives, ER. I know you care about ER.
Oh, my God.
13 episodes were produced.
Okay.
8 have been aired.
Okay.
5 left.
Okay. That's okay. Yeah, that's good. It's been a really good season, too.
Has it?
Yeah. Moira Tierney, who plays Abby Lockhart, or Kovach. I guess she's still Lockhart.
Right.
And she's an alcoholic, and she's relapsed big time into alcoholism.
Nice.
And popping pills and stuff. It's pretty awful to watch, but it's a fantastic performance.
Heroes.
The show fucking rules. Sorry, go ahead.
Heroes.
Uh-huh.
11 episodes produced.
11 episodes aired. Yeah, I know that.
Nothing new on them for a little bit.
Good.
Quite some time, apparently. House. 12 produced, 9 aired, 3 left.
So 3 left.
And can I just say, were you completely and totally shocked by last week's episode? By his choice?
No.
Did you watch last week's episode?
Of course
I did. By the two he picked?
No.
I was shocked. Let's go with Jericho.
Uh-oh.
7 were produced. None have aired yet. So all 7 of those are yet to come after the
holiday.
Okay,
well, that's probably wise for them anyway, since they're bouncing back out of cancellation.
Lost. 8 were produced. None have aired. Or 8 will be produced. None have aired. So all 8 are left. But they're pushing back the start of those because of the strike. I don't think
so they haven't even started producing those yet?
I don't believe so, no. No.
Lost Season 3 comes out on DVD next week.
Next week. My Name is Earl. 13 episodes, which include 2 one-hour episodes.
Right.
11 episodes have aired so far. 2 are left. The Office, 12 half-hour episodes will be produced. 12 half-hour episodes were aired. 0 are left.
No new Office for a while.
Prison Break, 13 produced. 8 aired, 5 left. But that's on hiatus now until January.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Pushing Daisies, for those of you who watch that show, nine episodes produced, eight aired, one left.
Okay.
And another very much favorite on this of my shows on this list, Reaper. They didn't put a fine point on how many episodes will be produced. It was somewhere between 10 and 12.
Okay.
Nine have aired so far, so it's either one or three that are left. Have you been keeping up with Reaper?
I've been trying.
Oh, God. It's getting really good. The new storyline is really good.
What's the new storyline?
Well, he's dating, or they think he's dating, or they're alluding to the fact that he's dating the devil's daughter.
Wait, I thought he liked that other girl.
He did like that other girl, but she's dating some other guy, and she like just wants to be friends, but not really. So he started dating this other girl, and it turns out that it's the daughter of this woman who was going out with the devil. Didn't know he was the devil. She knew him as Jerry, and she doesn't know who her father is. So they've been alluding to the fact that she's the devil's daughter, like. She has all these pets, like she's really fond of fish, but every time she gets a fish, it dies. And at the end of last week's episode, they finally kissed, and right as they kissed, the flowers that were on the table in the restaurant wilted.
Oops.
So, I don't know, it's really good. I don't think that she's going to end up being the devil's daughter.
Devil's daughter, death?
Yeah. I think that he's the one that's causing the death.
Oh,
the
really?
Flowers and stuff. Like, he's the Grim Reaper. He's the Reaper. I mean, that's the concept of the show. I think that it's a new manifestation of one of his abilities on the show.
Okay.
And they're just starting to work it in there. But I could be completely wrong. But needless to say, I really like that show.
So that's what you have to look forward to, or what's left
or
of what you have
left
to look
of what you have to look
hey,
forward
but,
to.
But, you know, you can broaden. This might be a time for you to broaden your horizons.
Watch some new movies, play some
new
games,
movies.
Read some books.
Well, I was going to say, check out some reality TV.
Perhaps.
I've been watching Survivor. It's a great season. The guy I wanted to win got voted off last week. I was very upset.
Nah.
Kid Nation. Fantastic show.
I like Little People, Big World.
No, I don't like that.
I've been watching that one now.
You can check out, what is it, Kitchen Nightmares?
Yeah, that one's okay.
That show is freaking hysterical.
That show's okay.
That's where that guy, what's his name, that chef?
I don't know. It's the Hell's Kitchen.
The angry one.
Guy. Yeah.
He goes around and he just like goes into these restaurants that are messes and cleans them up.
Yeah.
Which, oh man. We, you know, Liz and I watched one like from England.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't believe that they were serving food out of that place. And
it's
you
England,
don't even
sir.
Think about any of this stuff.
No offense, Matt or Adrian or anybody else over there, but.
No, of course not. Why would you offend a guy who we just found out is going to be a father in a few months? Why
I
would
asked
you offend him?
I asked him if the baby was going to come out with a mohawk.
Did you?
A frosted red mohawk.
Unbelievable. And while we're talking about restaurants and things, this might be a good time to plug Big Kev Eats Stuff. Launching in January, Big Kev Eats Stuff. Brand new venture for us here. Talking about some restaurants and the experiences that we're having. And the restaurants, of course, associated in some way, television, movies, entertainment in general.
Etc.
Yes. It's a very exciting project.
Sure.
I mean, maybe it won't be for everybody, but at least it'd be a good read.
Sure.
That's what I think. Fantastic is excited about it.
Okay.
Aren't
That's
you?
Good.
What? No, I'm not. I have absolutely no affiliation with this.
See?
That's a lie.
Nothing.
It's a None. Complete lie.
Unless you bring him some food, maybe.
None.
See, not even then.
It's not true.
I think we need an excuse to take a break.
No, we don't. It's time. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back with segment three.
There you go.
Welcome to the Nerd World Order!
Nerds are comic book readers, gamers, anime and manga fans, sci-fi and fantasy fans, action figure collectors, or anyone else that chooses to represent the nerd lifestyle. There has never been a clothing line for us to identify as our own, so the NWO was born.
The Nerd World Order is the clothing company for nerds, NERDZ.
A new breed of nerds.
A breed that's in your face.
A breed that's in control.
A breed that doesn't back down.
No dumbass phrases on NWO t-shirts. No fanboy art on NWO t-shirts. Just badass designs for a new breed of nerds.
Take one brief look at the Nerd World Order slogan, Nerds Rule! You have now begun the Nerd World Order experience.
Nerd World Order clothing is all about representing who we are.
Find the Nerd World Order at nerdzrule.com.
Go to nerdsrule.com now to enter to win a free NWO t-shirt.
Nerds Rule!
Bitch, what you don't know about me, I'm just about squeezing the Grand fucking Canyon.
Hey, this is Kevin Smith, Big Kev's love slave.
Did you know I always wanted to be a dancer in Vegas?
Then you're listening to Big Kev's geek stuff.
What do you look so shocked for, man? Fat bastard does this all the time. He thinks just because he don't say anything, it'll have some huge impact when he does open his fucking mouth.
Jesus Christ, why don't you shut up?
And we're back, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 84. What did we named it last segment? It was a good name.
Epic, the epic battle.
The epic saga of episode 84.
There you go.
That's it. And here in chapter 3, where everything becomes resolved before we hit the ending, we have a boatload of toys to tell you about. A couple of really exciting lines have hit us in the last couple of weeks, and we want to tell you all about them. We want to encourage you to check them out for yourself. Let's start right off the bat with DC Direct.
Let's.
Never, ever disappointing, hardly ever something you don't want to have if you're a six-inch collector. I'm going to talk about the Shazam action figures.
Okay, go for it,
which,
sir.
I thought originally were going to be called the Marvel family, but I have a feeling maybe there were some issues there.
Issues.
Yes, issues. A complete line of figures, can I just say.
Right.
Featuring characters Shazam, Captain Junior is here as well. Mary Marvel. There's actually two Mary Marvels. Mary Marvel in the red costume,
right?
Who is Shazam's brother. And then Mary changes her costume to white and gold to distinguish herself. So they actually have both of those costumes available. Then you get Dr. Sivana and Mr. Mind.
Okay.
Who is kind of the... kind of like his key villain or villains.
Right.
That they always face. And of course, rounding out the impressive six-figure line, Billy Batson and Hoppy. Billy Batson, of course, is a radio newsboy who was chosen to become Shazam, take on the alter ego of Shazam. And then they have Hoppy the Bunny, who is kind of the Shazam rabbit.
Huh, okay.
Did you see this?
Yes, I looked at him before. It's really kind of campy and funny.
I love when they do the goofy characters, sure, of the 60s and 70s. They're 6-inch, of course. They have a wonderful kind of a clear plastic Shazam base. It's very, very appropriate. Usual points of articulation. What you're really getting here is you're getting more DC characters for you to display. Now, whether you like these characters, whether you're fans of these characters or not, is kind of immaterial to the fact that if you're trying to build a good DC display base, you're going to want to have these characters in it. These are some important characters. Mary, of course, is very important. Billy Batson. They've done Billy Batson and Shazam before.
They have?
Or Captain Marvel, I should say, before. Yes, and in different styles. But let me tell you what I like about this one.
Okay.
This one seems like kind of the best sort of in the middle of the road version of the character. So this isn't the Kingdom Come version of the character.
Certainly.
Where he's bulked up like Superman. Like, he's really huge
and crazy.
And he isn't the two-pack version of the character. They originally did DC Direct a two-pack, him and Billy Batson, where they kind of did this thing where it kind of spun and there was a sound effect, I think, and he became Shazam.
Okay.
I could be way wrong.
I'm trusting you.
And I thought that version of the character too cartoony.
Okay.
So I rather like this version of Shazam. My one criticism of the line is I think Billy Batson's too tall.
Yeah, Billy Bat for Shazam, because really as a kid, he kind of like bulks up and huges out to be Shazam. He's like what? He's like
he's a centimeter shorter than Shazam. He's not really that much shorter, and so that's but
he should have been closer to the size of the bunny.
Well, I don't think that's small, but I mean, I don't think that's small, but certainly somewhere in there. And I also don't. I guess I understand to a point the reason for doing both of the Mary Marvel costumes.
Sure.
But it's just kind of. I think it may have been extraneous. That said, Shazam, Captain Marvel, big following. So, you know, I think there are guys out there who are probably going to want both costumes.
Oh, sure.
So that's the Shazam line from DC Direct. And what do you have?
Well, I'm going to stick with DC Direct, Kev. What I have here is Wonder Woman Series 1. 1 year after the Infinite Crisis, the question remains, who is Wonder Woman?
Dun, dun, dun.
Is it Diana Price or is it Donna Troy?
Is it Price?
Oh, Prince. Duh. Yeah, whatever. Prince,
nope.
Price.
It's not Diana. It's not Diana Price.
Diana Prince. Or is it Donna Troy? Well, this line has both in it.
Okay.
It's got Diana Prince as Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman.
No.
Yeah.
Is that? Oh, yeah. Sorry. You're right.
Yeah. The Donna Troy Wonder Woman also, which is down here in the pile.
Right.
Sir.
Can we, all right, why don't you give us the rest of the line?
I was going to give him that. Okay. I was going to go through.
I'm really upset about it. That's why I won't.
Agent Diana Prince. This is when she gives up the mantle of Wonder Woman to her sister, Donna Troy, and works as an undercover agent for the U.S. Department of Metahuman Affairs.
Okay.
That's what it is. All and right. Then Cersei.
Right.
The lead villain, the lead Wonder Woman baddie. I guess.
Is that who she is?
Yeah.
Can I just say something?
Go ahead.
I want you to take a moment. I want you to look at that Donna Troy as Wonder Woman figure.
Okay.
Now, tell me where we've seen that before.
I don't know. Was it the other Donna Troy figure?
Turn around. Show it to Fantastic. Show the figure to Fantastic. That look in any way familiar to you? No. Close.
Well, we've
doesn't it look remarkably, like, disturbingly like Xena? Yeah. Like her costume, like almost exactly?
Yeah, it really does kind of look like Xena. Now, I'm not really familiar with this storyline.
Right.
In Wonder Woman. Is that what the outfit looked like in the book? I'm guessing it did, if that's what
I think probably, yeah. But I guess I had never noticed before how much it looked like a Xena costume.
Until you see it in 3D.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
she's
yeah.
supposed to be Amazonian, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
and Xena was Amazonian as well.
Well,
so
there
that's
you
the
go.
Amazonian uniform.
The shared uniform of the Amazonians. A fringy, leathery, skirty thing. And a metal bustier.
So I think all of these are really nice figures if you're a Wonder Woman fan. My biggest problem is that I'm not a huge Wonder Woman fan.
Okay.
That being said, I do have a small problem with the Wonder Woman figure, the regular Wonder Woman figure.
Okay, what's the problem?
And this would be the same problem I seem to have with a lot of A, Wonder Woman figures, and B, DC Direct female figures.
Okay.
If you look at the legs on the figure,
mm-hmm.
if you look at the knee joint, they almost bend backwards the way the knees shouldn't bend. In the packaging, it's kind of odd to look at, and it's not terrible. But I can guarantee you that should you take that figure out of the packaging,
right.
that figure will not stand unless you use the base that it comes with.
You think so?
I'm positive. It was okay. The same problem that they had with the Kingdom Come Wonder Woman figure. And there was another DC Direct Wonder Woman figure that we talked about on the show. Where
I think it was
the 52
same issue,
one. The 52. The knee is bent back in the wrong direction just a little bit. So when you try to display her Amazonian breasts cause her to be top heavy and she tips forward.
So Wonder Woman is top heavy.
Yeah, and no support in her legs whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Thank God she's Amazonian, otherwise she'd have back problems.
If she was really Amazonian, though, she'd only have one breast.
Oh, yeah, because don't they cut one off or something like that?
I didn't know that.
Mastectomy themselves?
Didn't know that. Oh, yeah, okay, for shooting of the bows. Good point, fantastic.
So there it
is. Of course,
is.
It is a radio show, so you standing up and doing that, I'm doing a bow motion, means nothing to anybody until I had to take time to explain it. But I think the point is made. Uh-oh. Oh, there he's running.
I was trying to make you look smart, Kev.
Is that what you were doing? It's okay.
I want you
to look smart, too. I don't pretend to know everything.
I already look smart. I have a tie that's untied hanging.
Yes.
It does. That's right. It's very...
That's very intelligent.
Anyway... The line is really nice, with the exception of the one issue I have on the Wonder Woman figure.
Right.
They are all nice figures. At the very least, I don't know that I've seen a Cersei figure before. So
I think they did do her before, but I can't be honest.
If they did, it can't be as good as this one, because this one really is fantastic.
And certainly
actually, Agent Diana Prince is a really nice figure, too. So,
and as DC Direct continues to evolve and do these characters, I think the figures are just... They're getting better, yet they retain a certain level of DC quality.
Sure.
DC Direct quality that I really like. I tell you, the 6-inch DC display you could have if you were collecting all these 6-inch figures, absolutely incredible.
Oh, amazing.
Incredible. So that's it. Let's move on to the next pile. Now, if to say that we are fans of the Mezco company would be to understate the fact that we are fans of the Mezco company.
South Park, Family Guy, Tikimon.
Tikimon, need we say more?
I mean, really? No, in all seriousness, we do love Mezco. He puts out some great product.
And he puts a certain touch on all of the products that are his, which absolutely distinguishes them from other people. He did it with the Hellboy figures.
He did.
He did it with, like, Biggie Smalls.
Yeah, I think the only figures he didn't do it with, not to cut you off there, but the Kong figures. The Kong figures were the only ones that were completely realistic and not
and
kind
of... And they were
awesome. They were amazing, but I'm just... What you're talking about, that special touch, is that it's kind of a stylized, almost urban feel to the figures. He doesn't do it with the Family Guy and the South Park stuff, and he didn't do it with the Kong stuff, but everything else kind of has that feel.
And they have picked up some great licenses this year, and they are introducing them to us now in 6-inch format, actually in a variety of formats, but the ones we're going to talk about tonight, and we're going to talk more about Mezco in the upcoming weeks as well.
Sure.
Family Guy, South Park, some more of these different things that they're doing with their Cinema of Fear.
Exactly.
It's Cinema of Fear, right?
It is Cinema of Fear, and we have here in studio tonight Series 1 Cinema of Fear. It's four figures. It would include Freddy Krueger from Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors. This is Freddy in the tuxedo.
In the tuxedo.
With a decapitated head in his hand. It's not Nancy's head, because she survives, but... It's one of the random women's...
Right, gotcha.
...that he kills.
That's the Dream Warriors, for those of you playing at home.
Right.
We also have
Jason Voorhees.
Yes.
From Friday the 13th, The Final Chapter.
Right.
Which is... Which one?
That would be number 4.
Was that 4?
And let me tell you why that will... Well, you know what? I'm going to save why that one is so special... to come from Mezco at this time. Let's keep going.
Okay. He comes... Oh, I should also mention that the Freddy figure comes with an alternate Freddy head.
Okay.
In one, he's kind of grinning, and one, he's kind of snarling.
Gotcha.
The Jason figure comes with machete, hacksaw, axe, cleaver...
the usual paraphernalia. Yeah,
right, exactly. An alternate hand, so that you can have the various weapons. A tombstone... and the alternate wounded head.
Now, because what happens at the end of four, sir, is that a young actor who you might know as Corey Feldman.
Right.
Puts a machete into the side of Jason's head. And when Jason falls forward, is that great scene when he slides down the machete that's right through his head?
And I should mention also that the head is not the slashed mask head. This is the unmasked
right
Jason Voorhees head. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
And the tombstone is for one Pamela Voorhees.
His mommy.
Mrs. Voorhees.
Right. So, who else rounds out that line?
In addition to those two lovelies, we have Leatherface from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It includes chainsaw, mallet, the alternate old lady mask head.
Okay.
And the alternate old lady apron. And from Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, we have Chop Top. Comes with a switchblade, hanger, alternate hippie head, alternate lighter hand, a radio, and a Nubin's corpse, whatever okay that is.
Nubin's. So this is Cinema of Fear. This is their 6-inch take on these characters. They also have they have some rotocast, more vinyl looking, very stylized stuff coming out for Cinema of Fear. That we're looking forward to. They also have these little cinema scenes, which, for example, the one I know, the one I can say for sure off the top of my head is the one that I'm most looking for. It's the Friday the 13th one where little young Jason is jumping up and grabbing the survivor in the boat.
Right.
As in the end of the Friday the 13th movie, the first right one. Cinema of Fear is very exciting. It's great that Mez has got a hold of these. It's great that what he's doing is they're going back and they're taking some more specific things, like a good example, the Freddy from Nightmare on Elm Street 3, the one with the tuxedo. Okay, it's not your typical Freddy. It's not blue, red and green sweater,
right,
hat, glove, which has been done and done and done and done. It's a different take on it, which is good. Jason, they're doing yet another Jason that really hasn't been done. It's not a generic Jason. It's a specific Jason, which is also very good. You want to get that's how they're going to distinguish themselves here, is by doing more specific versions of these characters.
Correct.
Film-specific versions. Like, I don't know if they've done it yet, but maybe they have. The Jason from 5, 6, 7. The one before Jason Takes Manhattan, which is
Jason Takes Manhattan was 8.
Jason, I know. So Jason Takes Manhattan is 8, and wait, Jason Final Chapter is 4. New Beginning is 5. 6 is Jason Lives, the right Final Friday, and 7 is The New Blood. I think it's The New Blood. And that may be the best makeup in the series was New Blood, I thought, at least, when they had the mask off and he was kind of really, I liked it.
Badass.
Yeah, I thought so, badass.
All right.
Let's get to the creme de la creme.
Let's get to it.
It's the Goonies.
Woohoo!
Mezco, as we reported years and years ago, has like gotten the license to do Goonies action figures. And they are out and they are fantastic.
Right.
They
five
are
five figures in that line.
They right are they're just sweet little figures. They're a little stylized, as we've said. They're a little goofy and a little fun. And if you're a Goonies fan, there's no way you can't have all of them.
Right.
Absolutely no way you can't have all of them. Mikey comes with the map, Copper Bones, which was put out by Mezco as a 1-1 scale prop replica. Spanish doubloon, alternate hand with inhaler, and a bag of marbles.
Nice.
Yeah, it's very cool. Mikey, of course, is Samwise Gamgee.
Yeah.
Do we know that guy's name?
Yeah, it's Austin. Sean Austin.
Very good, sir. Do you know who his father is?
I don't.
John Austin. It's not Austin. It's Aston.
Aston.
You know who John Aston is?
I don't.
You really don't know who John Aston is?
No, maybe if you say it, I'll know, but I don't know it off the top of my head.
Ever heard of a little show called The Addams Family?
Yeah.
He was the father. Gomez Adams.
Gomez. Raul Julia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Raul Julia.
I know.
But the TV version of Raul Julia.
I'm busting.
You know who their mother is?
I don't.
Patty Duke.
There you go.
That's it. Patty Duke is their mom. John Astin is their dad. And there he is.
There he is.
Second figure in the line. Data.
Nice.
Data comes with the Bully Buster. Pinchers of Peril. Sticky Dart and the Dynamite.
Nice.
Which, of course, are all sort of little gadgets
booty
that
traps.
He has. Booby traps. Pinchers of Peril.
Sound like Philip I.
Pinchers of Peril. I have the pinch. That's like three people get that joke.
That's all right. It's for three people.
Data, of course, the young actor you may remember from Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom.
Right.
And then he did the Goonies, and then he disappeared. I don't know what happened, but there he goes. Mouth.
Of course.
Young actor you might know as Corey Feldman. Why is that significant? Because you could take the mouth action figure.
Yeah.
And kit bash him into the Corey Feldman of Friday 13th, Part 4, the final chapter.
Go.
And you could have a little thing.
Mouth
comes with the lantern, hairbrush, pirate sword, and pirate treasure.
There you go.
That's Mouth. Goonies. I'm really excited about the last two, of course.
Of course.
Chunk.
How could you not love Chunk?
No, and before we start getting letters, no, I don't think you can lift up his shirt and do the truffle shuffle.
Although that would have been an awesome variant.
It would have been. Just a truffle shuffle Chunk.
Yeah, with the shirt up.
Comes with the Statue of David.
Nice.
Which,
is the penis broken off or upside down?
It's not. It is not on there, sir.
Oh, it's broken off. Nice.
So, yeah.
Although, admittedly, if it was glued on
upside down.
Very funny.
That is definitely something that should be kit-bashed.
Yeah.
a milkshake and a slice of pizza round out Chunk's accessories.
Oh, it should have come with a blender.
to put his hand in. Maybe that's coming in series two. One would hope that there will be a series two. I like this kid, ma. Rounding out the series one, which I, again, want to stress, I hope is only series one because we didn't get a Kerry Green figure in this
line. Yeah, you could do more Goonies. You could do One-Eyed
Willie. There's three more Goonies.
You could do,
three more Fratellis. That's six. One, two, three, four, five. Well, there was five in this line. So maybe you can't not do one of the Fratellis. You have to do all three Fratellis.
You have to. A Joe Pants figure. Could you imagine?
I know. It would be the second one.
The first one was...
The Matrix. Sloth rounds out.
That really is my favorite one in that line, I think.
I think that they have really captured the character.
You don't have to caricature him.
Exactly. He's already sort of...
And he comes with the pirate hat.
Pirate sword. And looks like a Baby Ruth.
Sort
of candy bar.
I do want to be able to paint the Superman S on that chest, though.
Yeah, what is with that?
Well, you know it was a licensing thing, I'm sure.
I mean, who's not painting it on there?
I know. That's what I'm saying. But it had to have been a licensing thing with DC,
I'm sure. Well, that's a damn shame.
That is a damn shame.
Obviously, you know, you don't got to be a great talent to draw a Superman symbol.
You actually probably can even find a clear decal to do it yourself if you wanted to.
You might be able to do that. That said, Sloth rounds out the line, as OG said, comes with pirate hat, sword, and some sort of candy bar. Five figures from the Goonies, 20-odd years later, and you know what? If you're a fan of this movie, you got to get these.
Sure.
There's no question.
Here's some Goonies trivia.
Okay.
What is Sloth's real first name?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
It's Lotney.
Lotney? Oh, God.
Okay,
Lotney Fratelli.
I didn't know that.
Well, there you go. Goonies trivia.
I hope they do Fratellis. They should do it as, even if they did it as a three-pack and it was like a convention exclusive or something.
Sure.
They won't do it that way.
You never know.
I hope they do Kerry Green. That's all
I hope
I'm
they do the rest
about.
Of them. They should do the rest
Just
of them.
Just Kerry Green for the hot wall.
See this figure?
Wall of hot, sir.
This is my figure. I'm taking it with me.
Are you? So that wraps it up. Just a quick overview. Shazam, 6 figures from DC Direct. Wonder Woman, 4 figures from DC Direct. That DC Direct 6-inch quality maintained throughout the lines here. You're building your DC 6-inch collection. Got to have these figures.
Got to have them.
Mezco, a company we love, 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 and we love growing with Mezco, and we love following Mezco's products. They have great licenses. They're doing their own thing. They're impressive every time out of the gate. I'm really excited about Cinema of Fear, where it's going to go next. 4 figures in their first 6-inch line. They also have some roto stuff coming, some little scenes coming or that are out actually. And finally, rounding out the evening, so excited, the Goonies action figures. Right. 5 figures rounding out the line, including all your favorites: Data, Sloth, Mouth, Chunk, and Sloth, and Mikey. And that's gonna do it for this segment.
That is gonna do it for this.
You want to check out all these figures? Go to DCDirect.com. And you can go to Mezco.com. That's MEZCO.com. You can check out the fine products we're talking about and fine products yet to come.
Sure.
And we'll be right back with the wrap up.
Hello, dear listener. Kev here. When I'm looking for the absolute best in action figure news and entertainment, I look no further than action-figure.com. They have the latest news, information, pictures, and exciting stuff that I'm looking for. Once again, that's action-figure.com. Go there today.
Sorry, Adrian.
That's all right. Has anybody told him that his British accent is just, like, really terrible?
You should have heard his African-American.
God, blimey!
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days.
Hi, this is Henry Winkler, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
The Fonz be with you.
And also with you.
And how lucky are you?
Fonzie be praised!
Gray sky, hello blue. There's nothing can hold me when I hold you. So right, you can't.
And we are back with the final segment of Geek Stuff, Episode 84, the epic battle of Episode 84.
Is it epic battle?
Sure.
No.
It's epic something. Epic. It's epic.
Is it epic?
By nature of this conversation, it is more epic now.
Episode 80, the epic adventure of Episode 84.
Let's just do the wrap-up, sir.
All right.
Peter Jackson, New Line Cinema, Hobbit, 3D, maybe, maybe not. Only time will tell.
The Hulk, red as a monkey's behind. Thanks to Ed McGuinness. I don't know where I was going with that.
I don't know either.
Ed McGuinness and Jeff Loeb series. Scar, Son of Hulk, coming in 08. And The Incredible Hulk becomes The Incredible Herc as of issue 112, starring Hercules.
Nicolas Cage may be interested in doing Ghost Rider 2, but I don't care. What I do care about is American McGee's Alice. Again, it's Universal Pictures and Collision Entertainment. Hopefully it will star Sarah Michelle Gellar as Alice, and I can't wait to see it.
Who's going
to
play Ralph?
God only... What?
Nothing. Honeymooners joke. Terry Moore, new book, Echo. Go to terrymooreart.com to learn more about it.
Megan Gale, Arnie Hammer, Adam Brody, Teresa Palmer, and some other folks. This is your Justice League.
Ugh.
Starman Omnibus, 448 pages coming in May, whole series, starting off in this volume with 0 through 16, maybe annuals, Secret Files, A-Page Giant, Shade miniseries, all to be eventually concluded, included in this series.
On DVD this week, Superbad, Pirates of the Caribbean 3, I was going to say 4, 3, and as an update to that Futurama, not a new season. It's going to be 4 DVDs that will eventually be broken out into 4 episodes each, comprising a new season. They will air on Comedy Central. Will there be new material different from the DVDs? I believe so.
A couple of books to check out from Marvel this week. The 12, issue 0. It's kind of a primer for the series that's coming out called The 12. And also Ultimates 3, number 1, review by Mr. Fantastic on next week's episode. And did you mention the fact that if you
I didn't
get it at Best Buy, get the Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End at Best Buy, you get the bonus disc. Bonus discs. These are important.
And also out this week, the Mouse Guard PVC set. 3 figures, very pretty. You should have it. Don't put them in a glue trap.
Kenzie, Saxon, and Liam are the 3 figures, and they're 1-1 scale, as we've been mentioning.
Right.
It's very exciting.
In the second segment of tonight's show, we talked about how many episodes of your favorite show are left. For that information and for that list, you can go to tvguide.com's Strike Watch blog. The information is there.
And in the final segment this evening, we talked about a boatload of toys that you should check out in the 6-inch range. 2 from DC Direct, Shazam and Wonder Woman, and 2 from Mezco, The Goonies, of course, very exciting, and Cinema of Fear. Check those out, dcdirect.com, mezco.com, and that's everything.
It's actually mezcotoys.com, so mezcotoys with a
really?
Z.com.
I said the M-E-Z-C-O. .com. Is it toys?
Mezco Toys with a Z.
Yeah.
T-O-Y-Z.
Yeah.
.com.
I thought it was just Mezco.com.
No.
That's all right. We got it right in the end.
I know. Just saying.
Fantastic. Wake him up. Will you please put down that Ultimates book so we can just finish the episode and then you can finish reading?
Yeah, I
got to
get home and play some more World of Warcraft.
Oh, you didn't say anything about that?
Shh.
We can talk about that next week?
How about I just give you the review of Ultimates right now?
No, save it for next week. Do you have any final words? Yeah, and he's going to give it to me now when I ask him for final words. You have any final words for episode 84, the epic adventure of episode 84?
How about I just give you the review of Ultimates right now?
Okay.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Where there's a whip, there's a way. Where there's a whip, there's a way. Where there's a whip,
we don't want to go to war today.
Where
but the Lord of the Lashes has a way. Nay, nay, we're going to march all day, all day, all day.
Where there's a whip, there's a way. Where there's a whip, there's a way. There's a whip, there's a whip. There's a whip, there's a whip. Left, right, left, right, left. Where there's a whip, there's a way. Left, right. A crack on the back says we're gonna fight. We're gonna march all day and night and more. For we are the slaves of the dark. There's a whip, there's a way. Where there's a whip, there's a way. Where there's a whip,
we don't wanna go to war today. But the Lord of the Lashes has a way. Nay, nay, we're gonna march all day, all day, all day.
Where there's a whip, there's a way. Left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right.